Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm your host, Lori Lee, and I'm reading a book called Change It Up. The entire premise of the book is a comparison of how scared we get of change, but also how much we need novelty and how refreshed we are by changes that we choose, a new haircut or wearing a new color, going to a place you've never been, all the new things. And even sometimes the shifts that happen after a divorce or a loss, those changes can be so pivotal to our growth. In the moment, it is an absolute struggle. But many times in those moments of change, even loss, we are propelled into some of our best and healthiest and most beautiful pathways. Stay tuned for my talk with Edwina Murphy Droomer, the great women empowerment coach. We'll hear her story of how divorce was the crossroads to greater things, and then we'll talk about creating a higher purpose master plan, which she is excellent at. So let me ask, are you ready to create a life that you love living? Stay with us. Stories are our lives in language. Welcome to the Love Your Story podcast. I'm Lori Lee, and I'm excited for our future together of telling stories, evaluating our own stories, and lifting ourselves and others to greater places because of our control over our stories. This podcast is about empowerment and giving you, the listener, ideas to work with in making your stories work for you. Story power serves you best when you know how to use it. Like many women, Edwina's metamorphosis sprung from her darkest hour as a suddenly single, broke mother with four children. With no choice but to sit firmly in the driver's seat of her life, Edwina set about taking back control of creating the life that she dreamed of living. Now, as a professional interviewer and women's coach, Edwina is a powerhouse in the fields of vision building and transformation. How fun that we get to talk to her about that today. She has supported thousands of women to create this exciting vision of health and wealth and time and love, all the things that they crave, and support them and provide the support that they need, the accountability to bring that vision to life. And today we get to hear her story and peek into all of the tips and tricks and how she does that and what she has available. Edwina, welcome to the Love Your Story podcast.
Oh, Lori, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited for this conversation.
Yay. Let's start with your story. Take us back, if you will, to that darkest hour.
You know, I feel like there's actually a few pieces in here that come before
perfect
the great divide of my marriage. And I think the first pivotal moment for me was leaving school, 1989, which feels like perhaps dinosaurs were still roaming the earth. It feels like a long time ago. But I was, you know, I was very privileged. My sisters and I went to a very good school here in Australia and had everything laid out before us. But the reality was that by the time I left school, I had a very healthy dose of not good enough syndrome, is what I've come to call it. So I wasn't smart enough. I wasn't pretty enough. I wasn't thin enough. I wasn't sporty enough. I wasn't musical enough. I wasn't creative enough. Just nothing enough.
How did you come to believe that? Why was that perpetuated through your schooling?
I wasn't good at school. Academically, I really struggled. I wasn't good at sport. I've got these great big boobs that arrived when I was, I think they started to, arrive around 13, 14. By the time I was 16, the idea of running, I just wasn't built. And I went to a school that was very sports focused. And so I wasn't good at that. And then I often say my second daughter in line, one of my older sisters, is very musical. She's actually a music therapist. And I say, by the time I arrived, she'd soaked up all those genes. I didn't get any musical genes. I wasn't good at art. I wasn't, there wasn't anything. I wasn't good at making friends. There just wasn't anything. So all the messaging that I received through, and I was at boarding school, so I wasn't even at home with my family, but every message that I received was, you're just not quite enough.
Isn't it amazing how powerful that is? Because I look at you, you're beautiful and dynamic and all of these things. And to think that there's anything in the world that we so personalize that makes us feel like we're not enough. I see it over and over.
Yeah. And it's such a common thread. There is a portion of people who are born with that way of being, that academics is great and they're fantastic at soaking up information from books. That's not me. And for so many of us, it is through life experience that we learn, through actually, you know, it's that hands-on life experience where we soak in information. Launching myself into the adult world with that belief system, I was constantly looking at people outside of myself for validation, which made me very vulnerable to relationships that weren't healthy. And any sort of external validation I was looking for. And when you're in that really needy place, it's almost guaranteed that you'll never get great validation because it's just the way we are as humans.
It's an energy that you put off.
Yeah,
and a lot of times it repels exactly what you're looking for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I fumbled my way through various very unhealthy relationships and eventually met my first husband, and we had our eldest son 12 months after we got together. I got pregnant with my eldest son. And then I had three children in 3.5 years and my fourth 4 years later. And when he was 5 months old, my first husband walked away. And it was one of the darkest, absolutely most horrendously grief-stricken moments in my life, but also became an absolute gift. I didn't become aware of that for some years, but it was a gift because, as I've come to realize, I don't tend to walk away from people. So he walking away from me and from us was the starting process, really. And I always cringe when I say this because I already had four children, but I had to grow up. And I had to stop leaning on other people and using every, you know, that belief system that everybody else knew better than me. I never really trusted myself and I just fumbled through life. I had no particular plan because I didn't feel like I had any control over my life. I felt like, you know, it's just was at the mercy of everybody else. And
well, you say in your story, if I can add, you say, I unlocked my strength and moxie during the darkest hours. That kind of sums up. I love this idea where you say, it was a gift because I was forced to grow up and rely on myself. In those spaces, when we're in them, they feel horrible. They feel they're fear filled. They're just the scariest. But the strength you have to pull on, the things you have to understand and learn about yourself as you go through this, really become the greatest gifts that allow us to bloom, you know?
Yeah. Time and time again. And it's interesting. I actually saw a coach post on social media, stop telling people it's easy and effortless. And it's one of the, you know, it really is one of the greatest mismessaging things. Mismessaging is not a word, but you know, that it is one of the greatest lies that we're fed, this constant need to that we've if life isn't easy and effortless, we're somehow getting things wrong. And it's absolute rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. It's only in the effort and the discomfort and often the struggle and often the pain as well that we learn and grow and get that satisfaction that makes life juicy.
Well, and the empathy, the understanding, the broadening of the soul that happens with the stretching and the pain. You can't understand what other people are going through if you haven't been through it. You just can't. I mean, you really can't. And so it that life experience is rich.
Yeah.
You gain it through great sacrifice and trial and pain, but that's how you get it. That's how you become rich.
Yeah. And when, you know, if we look back over our lives, I mean, I liken it always to childbirth, but, you know, nothing magnificent ever comes from effortless and easy, really. You know, whether it's a degree and the study and the effort and the discomfort that goes into that, whether it's becoming fitter and stronger, you've got to put in the work and get uncomfortable and the pain to build your body and build muscle, whether it's giving birth to a child, whether it's, you know, having a beautiful garden. It doesn't just spring up. You've got to get in there and get your hands in the dirt and put the effort into mowing the lawn. And, you know, like there's effort and discomfort, and then we get the reward after it. And I think if we can go back to really just embracing that.
Mm. So how long was your journey on that path of coming into yourself, growing up?
Well, I feel like there was a 7-year period until I went into another relationship. So it was 7 years of just myself and my kids. And there was a moment that I remember I ended up getting a flower farm. So when my first husband left, we had a property that I ended up cleaning up and selling, and we moved and I bought a flower farm. One of my greatest things was to be able to stay.
How beautiful.
Yeah. It was magical. And, you know, one of my greatest things that I was so committed to was raising my children, not having to put them in childcare. And it was just one of my values that was so important to me. And so I was able to have them around me while I picked and harvested flowers and was in the garden. And
oh, that sounds delightful.
It was
fairy tale-esque.
And they were, you know, they were quite, I love feral wild children. You know, they were often grubby and barefoot and just blissfully happy. And it was a special, special time. But I remember I love photography, and I was sitting on the veranda of our house watching my kids play in the garden, taking photos of them. And in my mind, that was a moment, because I was, you know, that not good enough, so hard on ourselves. I was so hard on myself and always seeing the things that I wasn't doing well enough. And I had a moment, and I was just looking at these kids and the photos that I was taking, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, look at this. Look at us. Yes, we don't, you know, like I bought all our clothes, came from thrift stores, and I didn't have extra money for anything, but we were happy. We were really happy. And it was, you know, there was always food on the table and we had all the things. And it was just a moment. It was just like, yeah, this is working. I've done this. I've created this.
You see right there, I made this beautiful life for us. I am all that.
Yeah.
What a beautiful moment.
Yeah. And it became something that I repeat often now with my clients, is that you will find always find evidence for whatever you want to believe. Mm. If you want to believe you haven't got enough, if you want to believe that you're too fat, too dumb, not this, not that, whatever, everybody else's life is better than yours, you will find evidence.
We naturally search for it. The mind does. Yeah. Whatever Absolutely. It is, it will find search for proof to verify what it believes, whatever it is.
Yes. Yeah.
So you break through this worthiness barrier and you start seeing how powerful you are. How did that change your perception of yourself? And was it enough? Like, did it fully change from the inside out? What did you choose to do with your life at that point?
Well, you know, this is one of the things that I just love to inject into this story, is that I've never witnessed it being a 100% shift. You know, there's the, oh my gosh, I've got this all together for 5 minutes. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, oh my gosh, okay, I haven't done this, I haven't done that. So, you know, in the vein of keeping it real, it's a slow, everything comes back to flowers for me. It's a slow blooming. It's a slow letting go, a slow unfurling of gently, slowly building yourself again. It's becoming more and more. And that is just that understanding of focusing on the things that are working, focusing, noticing when you're falling off track. So I had this beautiful opportunity, this beautiful business where I was harvesting flowers and doing flowers for people's weddings and hotels. And we had, I had little stands outside the front of our farm and at the children's school where I'd put buckets of flowers and sell them. And, you know, it really was a very special way of doing things. And I had met on the journey, a lovely man, an older South African man, who taught my eldest son to sail. And I remember having a conversation with him at some point that his brother in South Africa was dying and he'd gone to South Africa to see him. And then his nephew came to visit after his dad had died, my friend's brother, and we met. And it was one of those ... we met. We had 3 days together before he flew back to Cape Town and we fell in love. 3 days. And
wow.
We built our relationship. We built our relationship over Skype at the time and talked almost every day. And he talked about coming back. He was like, I want to come back to Australia and like, are we going to do this? And I was like, well, I need to come to Cape Town to, he had 2 daughters. His daughters are older, they're adults and both are married now. But I need to come and meet your family. If you're going to up stakes and leave your country for this strange woman in Australia, I better come and meet them. And I still don't know how I did it because, you know, at that stage I still was living week to week, but somehow I scraped together the money to go to Cape Town and I was there for 10 days. My sister looked after my kids and Laurie is my now husband's name. Asked me, we hiked up, anybody that knows Cape Town, we hiked up Lion's Head and he proposed to me and I said, I can't say yes on a package deal. It's not just one. There's 4 more. It's part of his package. And so I said, I can't say yes. Anyway, he ended up coming to Australia and he spent time with myself and my kids and proposed. And we've about to, 5th of April, we're about to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary. So
that's so romantic, the whole story.
It is a beautiful story. It's a beautiful story. But it's interesting, you know, I worked a few years ago, I worked with a performance coach as part of my business. And she said to me, who were you being to attract Laurie into your life, because Laurie's an extraordinary man. And it was such an interesting question to ask because it allowed me, and it, you know, like when I talk about these stories, it's not about criticizing my first husband. We just were both a mess when we met and had so many traumas and, you know, all the things that we needed to overcome. We weren't, you know, it's not about criticizing him, but who I was being when I met my first husband compared to who I was when I met my second husband is chalk and cheese. It's chalk and cheese. So for, you know, this is one of the big things when we think about the people in our lives and for anybody tuning into this that's looking to find a new relationship or even is in a relationship now that perhaps doesn't feel great. It's who we're being. It's so easy to look out and criticize the other person. That's the easy thing. That's the easier thing to do. It's like, who are we being in this relationship? And so when she asked me that, it was a great point of reflection in how far I'd come from where I was, the person I was when I met my first husband.
Well, and I love how you're using that in your coaching because it's a wonderful thing for each of us to individually tune into. When were we performing really well, meaning at our best, our happiest, whatever that was? What energy were we creating? Who were we? What were we putting out? Because I know for sure, like I noticed this, my story is similar with the divorces and the, well, divorces multiple for me, and the long times of being single. And in those times, there would be spaces where I was bitter or hurt or just shut down or healing, right? And those were places where I didn't attract anything. There was a dearth, right? Like you could feel it. And then as I would heal, the minute I would get to a place of feeling healed and healthy and good, and I'd, you know, and I'd step back out into the world in all, and not like, oh, now I'm going to date again. But it was just as I would heal and I would be better and I'd just keep doing my interactions, I was putting out a different energy and it would automatically attract people and things that were way different. Like my natural healthy self is an attractor, my down broken self not. And I can absolutely see the difference. So I love the point you're making with check in with yourself. Who were you when you were attracting the things you really wanted?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's wisdom.
One of the first things, you know, when I asked Laurie, what was it? You know, because I was just in awe, this gorgeous man was falling in love with me. And I said, you know, what was it? What did you see? And he said, you didn't need me. You didn't need anything. And so we get to be partners. And I was like, oh my gosh. You know, don't get me wrong, I love being taken care of. You know, Laurie will make my coffee for me in the morning, and when I go to have a shower, he's always hung my towel over the shower, you know, aww, so I don't have to get out to get my... Those little gestures of being cared for, he opens the door for me before I get in the car, and I love those things.
Yeah, we really like him too now. These are great things.
As a super feminine woman, I love having a very masculine partner. We just have this beautiful partnership. But I didn't need him. You know, he came out to see me during those first three fateful days. He came out to see me at the farm. And I had alpacas and chickens and, you know, acres of flowers and four kids and the horses and like... the ride-on mower and the whippersnipper, and I chopped wood and, you know, just all the things. I didn't need any. We had veggie gardens and the orchard, and I grew our food and, you know.
Yeah, look at the difference, yeah, though, that place where you, yeah, felt like you weren't grown up enough that to yeah, function in life, to learning, yeah, how to do all these things. You created this world, this, yeah, beautiful world that was so, yeah, rich and just blooming. Yeah. You know, yes, and yes, it attracted the things you wanted.
Yeah. And that inner strength. And I mean, there's nothing like Mother Nature and having your hands in the dirt to give you a visual of how you can look after yourself. You know, you've got this.
What do you wish that women understood about themselves? You work with a lot of women in your coaching and your accountability partnerships. You're helping women to do this same thing that you've done, to really, yeah, bloom and embrace the life they want. What do you wish they understood?
Personal responsibility. You know, we talk about empowerment, but I think a lot of people really don't. You know, it comes to explaining what empowerment is, it still feels like something that's it's a little bit like describing happiness. It is something that we have an essence of the word, but being able to really articulate what that is, and it's 100% responsibility. That's what it is to be an empowered human. 100% responsibility. If I want to be healthy, if I want to be happy, it's up to me. Nobody else. It is up to me. Nobody else can make you happy. Nobody else can make you healthy. Nobody else can make you anything. It's all the choice. You know, I'm a lover of language, and it's when I'm working with women, it's one of the things that my ears are finely tuned to language all the time. And it's like, I just don't, you know, like I don't want to have to cook another meal. I don't want to have to do another load of laundry. And it's like, well, don't. It's a choice. It is a choice. You can sit on the couch and put your feet up and do nothing. You can. There are women who do. So if you change your language and say, I am choosing to make this meal, I am choosing to do laundry, I am choosing to make the beds, the difference that it makes in your body, I'm choosing to go out to work. You can choose not to. Everything comes with consequences. Everything comes with consequences.
I have this wonderful, it's an activity that I do when I'm working with groups, and you'll like this. You can steal it if you haven't used it already. But for 1 minute, they have a partnership, and you tell them what you have to do today. So I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do this. I have to do the laundry. I have to take my kids to school. I have to do. And then the next minute, you change it to I get to. And you say the, yep, exact same list, only you just shift, yep, that word. And the, yep, change in your energy from, yep, I have to I get to, yep, everybody, yep, feels it automatically. And then we, yep, do it one more time, only we say, I am blessed to. So we, yeah, do the three steps. So you go from have to get to I am blessed to. And by the time you get there, and it changes, because now I don't have to walk my dog. I am blessed to have this sweet friend of mine that I get to go around and look at the sky and see the mountains and spend time with my dog pal, you know? Like, it shifts how you do everything, how you think about it, the energy in your body. Love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you only have to go, you know, for a week with no money and trying to work out how you're going to put food on the table, to really appreciate the absolute privilege that so many of us live with. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got so much food. What do I do with all this food? It's like, oh my gosh. Actually, you know, being married to a South African, he brought into our world these sayings, you know, like first world problems.
Mm-hmm.
First world problems. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't find a park at the supermarket. It's like first world problems.
Right. I have too much stuff. I'm too crowded. Definitely.
What do I do? I've got to declutter because I've just got so much stuff. What do I do with all these clothes I have? And, you know, first world problems.
So you call yourself a beautiful life designer. What exactly does that mean?
So one of the great lessons that I learned in my life is the difference between living reactively and proactively. And that sounds like a bumper sticker. So let's just kind of look at that a bit more closely. So that first pocket of my life, pocket 30 years of my life, I was living reactively. It's like whatever life threw at me, I dealt with. Whatever I stumbled across, it was like I was lucky to meet these people, or I was lucky to have these things, or lucky, lucky, lucky. It's like just that fumbling through life, hoping, wishing, praying that things are going to work out and I'll deal with whatever I fall over in the moment. That's reactive living. And slowly but surely, I moved into a proactive, thinking about the things I want and becoming the resilient, proactive person that was like, these are the things that I want. And these are the things that I have to do to make it happen. And yeah, I can do it. I could
give me some examples.
Well, I mean, you know, my business is a big one. So if I think about, all right, I'll share a story because this is a story that just brings me so much joy. So I do this through vision boarding. That's become the way that I do this. And I remember when I first moved into the online, so if I backtrack just a tiny bit, after I left school, some years down the track, I ended up studying naturopathy. I'm very passionate about everything that Mother Nature provides. It's kind of my core value. So I ended up studying naturopathy and then I did functional nutrition. And when I went into the online world, I was like, I'm going to teach everybody how to eat and save the world, you know, great big visions. And I made courses and did all these things and nothing quite worked. And I ended up coming across somebody that was teaching how to interview and do online summits. And I, you know, one of my little sort of secret wants was to be Oprah when I grew up. I wanted to be Oprah and have, you know, like you get a car and you get a car and you get a car.
Because she's so abundant. She's so brilliant and abundant. Yeah. Like, don't we all? I'll get in line for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I came across this coach, and I was in those days, I was still pretty flat broke. We were living week to week, and I was like, I really want to sign up and I really want to work out how to do this. So I ended up going out and cleaning houses to pay for my first coach. And she did an event. I went to an event where there was about 800 people in the audience, and there was a panel of five women on the stage that were like her success story. And I remember sitting in the audience feeling like the primary school girl looking at the high school girls going, but I want to be up there. I want, you know, like that's what I want. That's what I want. So I came home and I put a picture of that coach on my vision board with her arms open wide, welcoming me onto that stage. And the process for the next 12 months of putting together an online show, the awkwardness of reaching out to people and saying, would you mind being interviewed by me, and working out how to, you know, like do all the things, sitting in my living room with, you know, trying to work out cameras and microphones, you know, the beginning stages of everything. And I did the work, and I remember declaring it, you know, like inside this group that I'd done this, and I was so embarrassed. And it was like, oh, I can't believe I'm telling you this. And I put, you know, like this, and I want to be up on that stage. And 12 months later, I got the invitation and actually flew to America and was on that stage in front of 1,000 other entrepreneurs.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That I knew were, you know, sitting in that audience, much like I was. I was like, you know what? You hear people say, if I can do it, so can you. It is true. It is true. It is true. It's 100% who you're surrounded by. It is so important who you're surrounded by and the people you're talking to. It is so, so, so important. You know, you hear that I can't even think who it was that said that you're the sum of the five people you surround yourself mm-hmm. with.
I heard that a lot from John Lee Dumas on his, you know, How to Podcast. He quotes that a lot. And I'm not sure where it comes from either, but you hear it all the time.
And there's so many of these things I call bumper stickers. But until you attach stories to it, until you experience it yourself, I remember first time I heard that, I was like, well, there's me and my four kids and maybe it's one of the alpacas. That's like the sum of who I'm hanging around the most. But, you know, getting inside this group and having other women that had the, you know, like audacity is one of my favorite words. It's like the audacity to think that you can, the audacity to go, whoa, you know, I'm just going to give it a go. And if I fall on my face, I fall on my face.
And so you found your way through it. And now you follow these same sort of steps to help other people build these beautiful lives. You help them design it.
Yep. And it's just having that person in your corner that says you can, like, what's the next step? You can, what's the next step? And of course, then, you know, I've done leadership training and all those sort of things. So it's the mindset stuff. But I've worked with people, you know, I've got clients that have sit on boards of companies, you know, CEOs. I've got clients that own outback stations in the middle of Queensland, you know, all right across, you know, a fabulous client that I've worked with for the last 2 years who had two husbands cheat on her, and she ended up, you know, single mum with 60, raising her 16-year-old daughter. It's, you know, right, the breadth of different women that I work with is magic, but it's just having that person in your corner that's like, let's do this, next step, next
so,
step.
So yeah, tell us, if you will, explain what you do now. Like what services are available to help women design their lives that you help
well,
them?
Well, I do these vision board workshops that are not like a vision board workshop that you do on YouTube. It is... the process that I use, I teach. And this is, you know, going back to that academic sort of study. Some people are amazing at teaching what they've learned in books, and thank goodness those people exist, but it's not me. I teach what I do. I call myself, it's that kind of proof of concept. If I haven't done it, I'm not going to be teaching it. So I teach what I do. So there's vision board workshops, and I do private coaching, so one-on-one coaching with women. And I do masterminds, which are really magic, because that's bringing women together and they end up just becoming, you know, lifelong advocates for each other. It's a really magic experience.
Powerful.
Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. As we close up the show, what do you want the audience? What do you want women to know about you and about living? And what are your final thoughts?
I will take it back to that responsibility. Look, stop looking for somebody else to come and save the day. You know, that I don't know the exact demographic of your audience. Most of my audience are 45, 50, 55, 60, you know, that we're in a point in our lives where we've collected an enormous body of wisdom and we don't recognize enough how much wisdom we already have. So it's that process of really trusting yourself and deciding that if it is to be, it's up to me. I'm responsible. If I want this, how am I going to make it happen?
I love that, because it's so empowering.
Yeah.
Edwina, it's just so empowering. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Where can people find you?
The place that I am seen the most is just on my Facebook. I've got a Facebook business page that I neglect.
Whatever. I see you post like twice a day. You're all over there.
Well, that's not my business page. If you just on my, you know, my, I what do you call it? The main profile. Profile on, I'm on Instagram as well. But I, you know, I love talking to people. If you want to send me a direct message on Instagram or Messenger, please do, via email. I love writing. So if you want to be on my email list, edwina@edwinamd.com, it's you know, that's one of the things about the online world. It's so easy to connect now. It's just a pleasure.
It is. Isn't it wonderful? Well, yeah. And all of her contact information will be in the show notes on loveyourstorypodcast.com under this episode. So I'll put everything in there so you can track her down. And if you have need of this support, this accountability partner, this beautiful life designer, someone to help you create and shift. Yes, Edwina just puts out this beautiful energy, this positive glowing space. So you can find her, all the contact stuff in the show notes. So I wanted to just end with this. On Edwina's website, there's a quote that is so compassionate. It says, quote, "Be patient with yourself. Nothing blooms all year long," unquote. As we design the lives that we want and act with intention, it helps to accept that that's a process, like she brought up earlier. And I kind of want to leave on that note. Know that life holds beautiful gifts to support your growth and that it's an adventure. So thank you for being here with us today, Edwina. Thank you for all your Thanks. Brilliance. Please share this episode with one friend that you love, that you want to share stories with, and have a beautiful couple of weeks creating the life that you want to live.